Hello, welcome to the Roll Together podcast. Thank you for joining us for these podcast versions of our streamed shows from Twitch. You can always find our schedule of upcoming shows at twitch.tv/rolltogetherrpg/schedule. Please do leave a review and we look forward to adventuring together. Talk Together. Thank you for joining us for an evening of talking about Dungeons and Dragons. And I usually say NTTRPGs in general, but no, not this time. We are specifically talking about Dungeons and Dragons and specifically about this one campaign. You may be able to guess from the people arrayed around me, we're going to be talking about A Viscous Cycle because that ended and there's things to say. I am Nat, I use she, her pronouns. I'll be your host for tonight's post-show discussion. If you've not been here before and you don't know how this works, I have a D20 that is going to decide which questions I ask. But if you've watched this before, then no doubt you know that we'll go off tangents as well. Absolutely, that's going to happen. Before we kick off, this stream is going to run for about an hour, thereabouts. I'm not as fussy about the timekeeping badge as some people are. I'm more interested in the truth and the scoop. So I'd rather get all the details out from you instead. I'm looking at Tom's face being like, what is this not caring about the badge?
Why do you not want the badge? It's so shiny and so valuable.
I have plenty of other badges in my life. Before we start, a big thank you to our sponsors, Heroforge, Ultra Pro, Phoenix Dice, and Alchemy RPG, and supporters, Idle Champions of Forgotten Realms, Warriors of Waterdeep, Neverwinter, Elderwood Academy, and D&D Beyond. And you can find us under Roll Together RPG across a multitude of social media platforms, including Patreon, and a big, big love to our D20 Club. Hello, you're all wonderful and marvelous people. They all support us, they're the best, they do things like make a fan wiki, and they're on the fan Discord, and they support us financially, which is, you know, amazing. Our shows are available as podcasts. If you are an audio person, just search for Roll Together RPG on your favorite podcasting app. Speaking of these podcast listeners, they cannot see you all arrayed around me. So can we go around, everyone? Can we say your name, your pronouns, if you like, and your characters' names and pronouns that you were just playing in A Viscous Cycle? Maybe just reminders of who they were a little bit, and then we'll get into rolling dice. Maybe we should start with Sean, our DM.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm Sean, I use he, him, and I was the DM. So I played a whole host of characters, including Owlin dentists, random shopkeeps that I had to come up with on the fly, and you know, evil biomancery type people.
I just need to interject there with, like, I love dentomancy as a concept. So good. I thought that was brilliant. Someone else, jump in.
Hi, I'm Johnny. I was playing Rex, the half-orc cleric, who likes to hamsterball his way around the place. I think, is that everything? Yes.
Yeah, that's fine. Someone else?
Hello, it's me, Tom, he, him. I played Jacobo / Alan, he, him, who was a undead rogue / animal trainer / husband, as it now turns out.
Anyone else?
David.
We're all far too polite. Hello.
Well, the thing is, I don't want to say your name. I don't want to be like, David, you go next, because then you'd be like, hello, I'm David.
And to be fair, if this is for the benefit of people who've forgotten in the last week, then sure, they probably need to be told twice. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Hello, it's me, Davio. Pronouns he, him, playing Eltreon for the second time, hopefully not the last. Also, he, him. And Eltreon shoots mind bullets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does.
Can anybody top that? Hello, my name's Josh. I played Jakarth. We both use he, him pronouns. Jakarth was a Simic hybrid ranger.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm Scarlet. I'm she, they. I played Hera, the she warlock reborn.
And the marvelous selection of characters. They all were... it was one of those things when starting out watching the very start of the stream, I wasn't sure where they were going to go. I was like, well, this is it. This is a Sean stream. It's going to be dark, grim, horror-y. All the characters have got a lot of undead and quite serious. And then Eltrion, who likes to mess with people's minds. But there was so much beautiful, beautiful roleplay and beautiful, beautiful moments between these characters as well. I just really enjoyed it. That's not a question, that's just a statement. So I'm gonna roll. Well, does anyone have any burning questions that they have for anyone straight off the bat, or shall I just go ahead and roll the dice?
Roll the dice.
Roll that dice.
Roll that dice.
Thank you very much for humoring us. Okay, we're gonna start looking at the NPCs of this campaign. Which NPC gets the MVP award?
Doctor Who.
It's still the
Dentomancer.
Doctor Who, 100%.
The Dentomancer and the most incisive character.
So good.
Although,
let's not make a mountain out of a molar.
Polypandro's up there as well.
Yeah, I was going to say Tolopanro. I'm a big fan of.
Mm-hmm.
Massive.
Who I was worried was going to get swept up into being turned against everyone at the end as well, but. Was all right.
And yeah. Ned Deuce is a very interesting villain because not a powerful villain, but someone who had impacted a character very powerfully. I thought that was an excellent subtle antagonist to bring in there, Sean, because there's a number of ways that could have gone, and it really not for the first time in this whole 6 weeks, which I've now just found out is over. No one told me. Find out by social media about these things these days. But yeah, it was really, really lovely to see
too
that.
Soon.
Too soon. It's too soon, David. It's too soon.
Well, we've all been there. My apologies to the Cinderella cast.
This is in reference to the cast of the West End show Cinderella finding out that their jobs were all cancelled and the show was closing via social media and not in any official capacity. Just for context, for those who don't know. Sorry, carry on. You were saying something important.
Yeah, no, just it gave us an opportunity to take decisions other than just combating things and hitting things with swords and sticks and spells and what have you. And just a shout out to Sean for allowing that to take place and to these other wonderful performers for... just all being generous to each other and just rolling with it and taking things in a, you know, almost argue a non-traditional direction throughout the campaign, which was really fun for me because I love the diplomacy angle. So that was great. So thank you all.
I think the entire campaign was interesting about us taking very different options, such as let's try and talk our way through, or let's have a funeral with some animals, you know, just making very different choice. Even in world, there were people like, oh, you seem quite upset by this. And the, I mean, sure, and that's a question. Did they take care of the animals in the end? Did they give it a proper respect, or did they just bung it in the river?
No, I definitely think they would have done, mate. You were convincing enough and obviously showed the a level of care that, you know, they probably weren't expecting. So I can't tell you exactly where they would have been. You know, probably the pauper section of the Netherdesk graveyard, maybe. But
I mean, that's because we've been sponsored by Neverwinter. It has been quite fun playing and then just go, oh, so this is what this looks like. You know, having a completely different image in my head and going, oh, this is very big. This was everything. Why, I was playing with a friend who's like, why is everything uphill? I was like, I don't know. You try and bury a body, you just take it up a hill. It makes sense. But
that's a good point. Are you envisioning, Sean, continuing to set campaigns specifically in Neverwinter? Are you going to have to start getting like map accurate now?
I mean, the Neverwinter that I've tried to lay out is pretty close, I think. As someone who's not yet played the games, fully intend to, you know, make use of the codes, but not yet played the games, but just read up a lot, because there aren't any books set in Neverwinter, not that I found, or at least nothing major. I think there was something like maybe from like 3.5e or something like that, but I really had to dig to find anything for Neverwinter. So a lot of it was inspired by the games. and even down to so the Beached Leviathan was a bar that I think Dr. Hoot mentioned as being his favorite bar. That's actually in the game. Like that is for one of them. If you decided to go there, I would have had to do my Jack Sparrow impression, because the bartender is basically an ex-pirate whose actual ship, the Leviathan, is beached in the dock ward at Neverwinter.
We have an impression anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Please.
I feel like we need to hear that now.
Yeah. But where's the rum gone?
Yay!
Very good!
Topical. I feel like that's a challenge set to the next people in Sean's next campaign set in Neverwinter, is like, don't do the plot. We must only go to the Beach Leviathan. Only tavern times.
Neverwinter pub crawl. I mean, there's plenty of interesting ones. There's one that is on, I can't remember the name of the phenomena, but it's on like a floating rock. And it's kind of literally tethered to Neverwinter with big chain.
Floating in the air or floating in the water?
Floating in the air due to the spell plague. So yes, in one of my home games, they decided to go to Neverwinter. And so I had them, they went to a giant opera at the Mirrorstone Mask, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm. Moonstone Mask.
Moonstone Mask, that's it. Thank you.
Is this a really big opera or an opera about giants? Just in clarification.
In the language, giantish.
Ooh.
Okay.
So I was actually playing Neverwinter Nights earlier today and completely failed to make the connection.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
I was like, oh, yeah, this seems very familiar.
Neverwinter Nights takes me back. That was my first D&D thing that I ever played. It was Neverwinter Nights.
Oh, yeah. Classic game.
All those years ago. Right, I'm gonna roll the dice again.
Roll that dice.
See what we'll come up with this time.
Roll that
Ooh,
dice.
Ooh, 12. What's that? Okay. What was your favorite battle/encounter/enemy?
I mean, the last one lasted like 8 years, but was pretty...
It was a beastie and it was tense.
Yes, especially like, again, if you watch back and watch all our faces slowly drain about and we're just like, this is it. Okay. And again, like David just going, I could just leave. I could just go. But I mean, that was big. I think the fight with the elephant, the elephant was bad. Oh, that elephant was sad. Especially again, when David was just like, I'm just going to hold it. I'm just going to hold it there. You guys just do what you want to do. And yeah. Oh no, that poor elephant. Again, even I'm still in character, I'm just like, oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no. Trunkosaurus, no.
I really love our first combat as well. Because it just really displayed the level of skill that Eltron had and just completely obliterated all of Sean's plans, I think. You know, it was this entire rush of like, you know, bloated creatures, and then just one spell from Eltron, they're all hypnotic patterned, and we just pick them off one by one. Comes to Sean's turn as the DM, and he's like, I can't do anything because they're stunned still. And it was, as a DM, I know how heartbreaking that can be, but also as a player, now it was great. I don't know if you'd call that a favorite fight or not, because we didn't really fight them, we just threw things at them until they died.
I said encounter.
Yeah,
but that was really good.
And that was the introduction of the hamster ball.
It was the Well, that's the thing. I had this really great plan, and then Eltron just swooped in and just hypnotic patterned everyone to heaven. It was great.
The insanely high DC.
Yeah, it was so good.
I'll be honest, like that was one of those moments where, as a player, I was really proud, but the performer brain in me was like, is this fun to watch? Is this interesting? Should I have done that? I don't know. Why did they all fail?
I like to think also as a harper, you're like, right, let's just get this done. Yeah, well, Come on, one o'clock.
This is it, exactly. I've been given a mandate here. You know, I don't get paid overtime.
Gull, Josh, do you have any favourites?
The final fight was definitely a favourite, especially considering the fact that we didn't actually kill everything.
Mm.
Spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen it, but...
Well, I hope if people are watching this, then we should start putting a spoiler tag at the top of the intro, I guess, because it's a post-show discussion. So if you've not watched it, stop watching this. Go back and watch it.
We'll wait.
4 hours aside, and
yeah, we'll just
per episode.
Yeah, I think the final one for me as well. It just went up and down so many different times of feelings. It's like, oh god, no, oh god, mm-hmm. It was just all over the place. I just loved it.
Especially when you all just ran in different directions. I'm like, that's not a good idea. But,
no. I had to control some feelings around that. I was just like, okay, we're doing that, are we?
I was worried. But it's also where Rex got his first kiss. So, you know, is that always a benefit.
Ever.
His first ever kiss.
Yeah, his first ever kiss was from Giacomo. Whilst he was unconscious.
I think I also said that I'd kissed nearly every character. I don't know when I kissed Hera, but it probably happened during a cut to black that we're just gently kissing in the background going, oh, that's weird. Let's not do that again. Handshake.
Try the undead kissing thing. No.
Can I just have my lip back, thank you.
Yeah. It's just sort of like bumping tongues and going, no, that's not how you do it.
That's
is
horrid. How you do it? Is it yeah. No? Oh, okay.
All right. I feel like this, what were you going to say, Sean?
I was just going to say, like, for me, the encounters would probably be episode 2 with the Abale, because there are so many ways that could have gone. I had stat blocks for everything. Like, you know, you could have easily spent 3 episodes there if you had tried to kill everything, but you didn't. You know, diplomacy won the day, and, you know, I had to start thinking, okay, what can I bump up the list? Which is great, because, you know, really kind of tested me.
Definitely one of my favorite non-combat encounter, just that whole thing, because that's the reason Rex didn't want to get involved in the mind thing, because he didn't trust that this wasn't going to turn into a combat encounter, and then it just turned into this beautiful roleplay diplomacy session, which was great.
Well, there's so many groups that would have just stormed in and killed them all, right?
Burnt it down, yeah.
So
I also realised we did a big show of appearing, and the Bale never paid attention to that. There was no reaction to us teleporting in, and they were just like, hey, how are you doing?
Is that, maybe that's just how everybody does it.
Yes. Hey,
they've only been around 2 months.
Also, I really need to give Sean props for his sexy bee queen, who maybe I feel like needs to be a player character in a one shot in her own right. Maybe
100% agreed. Yeah.
The weird thing is, so because obviously I was taking influences from all sorts of different places, mostly horror, and then you obviously went in and talked to them. I had to kind of start going, okay, these the Abale had come from the Abyss, you know, they're demons effectively. And a lot of the stuff that, you know, to do with them evolving quickly, that was from like Warhammer Tyranids, or from alien xenomorphs, like particularly kind of Alien 4, where they're trying to get the kind of human reproductive system. I was like, okay, no, now I've got to make them not horrific and likable. Okay. So yeah, there was a bit of a kind of mishmash of imagery there, where it was like demons, but trying not to be.
Nice bee demons.
Very well played.
Would they have showed up as demons if a paladin had done the sense evil thing?
Yes.
Okay, so it's just as well we didn't have a paladin in the party. the demons. This is clearly a sham and a mockery. But no, all's well that ends well. Mm.
So becoming less demonic as by the day.
Oh. Thanks to our influence.
Oh, thanks to us.
Yeah. Here's an example of how to do it. Oh, wait, what are we doing? Oh, no. Don't follow us.
I love to think every time the Abale now appear to someone, it's with a bright flash of light. This is how it's done, right?
Yes, this is how the humanoids like to communicate.
Like biblical angels. Don't be afraid!
Biblically accurate bee people.
Just many eyes, again. Yeah.
There you go.
The bee.
So I like that, though, because you didn't go in and burn them all down, it now has, there's now like the opportunity for someone to actually play a bee person as a PC as well, which is cool, at some point.
And Sean's just creating a ton of new PC races, which is very exciting.
Yeah. They canonically level up four times faster than any other race.
And then they die quicker. Oh, that's sad.
So I have two tangent questions that have come from this conversation, and they go in completely opposite directions. So I'm going to go with the one that was requested from our fan base. From on the Discord, we had Tyrendian89 asked for, could you talk about everyone's favourite horroriest moment / creation? We had all the hybrids and the bees and the eyes. Like, what was your favourite? Oh no, that's disgusting, Sean. What have you done? Moment, which I feel is like closely related to the favourite enemy battle encounter.
I think the elephant was pretty horrific, like without the you know, the face and stuff. Mm-hmm. The imagery for that was pretty brutal, especially with the emotional. Now we all like we all knew at that point that Giacomo was close to these creatures. So prior to that, we didn't realize that. We now knew that, and then it's when it started to click that there were other parts of these creatures we were going to see, and then we saw that elephant. It was like, oh God, that was emotional and brutal.
Did we see the Etin's other head beforehand? I can't remember.
I briefly, when I was describing the poster, mentioned that one of the quarters of the first Carnival Talentius poster had Etin's on. I can't remember whether I remembered to add that they were wearing the kind of the clown. I always forget.
Did. I think you did.
Meant that obviously one of the Etin's heads had been removed for Duroc to sit in it.
That's still out there somewhere, I think.
So yeah, what happened to that head? Where is that?
A bee going around with a head on somewhere.
Oh, it'd be like a Godric the Grafted moment from Elden Ring, and the second phase of the boss fight shoves his hand into a dragon's head, and just like the Etin comes out, hello, I'm going to murder you. Oh, no, why?
I'm the nice one.
That was the biggest horror thing for me, was the, now that obviously we've done the episode, was the Etin, you know, Duroc thing, and then obviously realizing that one of the ends is actually still alive and is now missing its other head. After that, it's like, oh,
yeah, that's my brother, my friend.
Yeah. That was heartbreaking. It was like, oh no.
What could Sean possibly throw at us? Etin's at us.
There were so many that were heartbreaking and had that weight to them. Were there any that just made you go, oh no, Sean, why?
I think it was more the descriptions that got me. I think just the way that Sean described them was, it's such good narrative. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't see, we did have the okay sign in the bottom of the screen normally, just for when Sean was checking in, just make sure that specific piece. I'm drawing a blank, but I'm trying to think of a specific one. But I remember the emotion and the kind of, like a lot of stuff with the eyes and things, you know, how they squished and exploded and...
Also, I think that when we were talking about like going to the hospital and that Duroc had just stringed people up above the gate,
yeah,
completely unnecessary, isn't part of his scientific research. Yeah. It's just stay out. And that, again, in character, where I was like, cool, I've had my fourth mental breakdown today. I'm just he didn't need to do that. He's so rude. He's such a rude man. I'm glad he turned into hornets and died. And now he's gone. He's right, Sean. He's gone now, isn't he? No one's problem. Done.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Don't answer that. Let us live in hope and denial.
Even like that, when you're like, yeah, you blew him up and just hornets burst out of his head. You're like, oh, come on. You rock. Knock it off.
Stop it.
Oh, the whole story, you know, the viscous cycle, you know, I had to bring something cyclical in there. So I just thought, okay, he's been doing stuff with the wasps, so his brain turns into hornets. Good. Boom. There we go. There's your circle.
Just you know, a pack of honey everywhere though.
Or was there?
Amber and stuff in the hive, but I guess we didn't spend quite as much time around the Abale as I maybe thought in the planning stages.
Like, I don't know, like a honey hot tub. Like, honey spa.
We We missed out on Honey Spa.
Can we go back and redo?
Yeah, can we do that again?
The Honey Hotel. It's probably a different thing.
No.
Breaking ground. Well, I mean, blood's viscous, right? So there's plenty of that.
Ickle. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I'm now just having visions of the honeybee inn from Final Fantasy VII, and that's a totally different direction. Although the bees were sexy, so, you know.
In Final Fantasy and in this game, so yeah.
That's not a bee movie, that's this whole different set of letters.
Ew. Well, the other tangent I had from our previous favourite encounter enemy question, we started talking about how Rex's first kiss was Giacomo trying to resuscitate him.
So jealous.
And also, can we get into this as well, please? David, Tom, do you need us to step away for a moment?
That was the biggest horror moment when Giacomo tore out Eltrian's heart and ate it in front of him.
There's a poly Q. We could have been a power frapple. Come on. That's always my solution, but come on.
Well, this is my other point as well I wanted to make, Tom. I think if we've got a page of records on the wiki, I think you are the one who has the most character marriages.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And proposals on... as part of the stream as well.
I think I'm up to two at the moment. No, three. Right. I got Daisy. Daisy got engaged. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yes. Well, give me that badge, eh? That's why I do it. I want the badges.
So it's like a conscious, I'm aiming to have all of the relationships.
I want to kiss all the players and I want to get married to every single player. Yeah. I think I was playing a romance with Eltrion, and then I think someone mentioned it in chat, and then we just were like, yep, this is how we're going to play this. Also, I blooming love tragedy. I love breaking the heart. I think that's the thing where I said Alan loved her. Giacomo did it out of loyalty. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't remember, and he's hoping that he might fall back in love with her. And also this would be incredibly cruel. Yeah.
Very Greek tragedy about that.
Yeah.
This is
terrible. She's gone through so much, and it would be horrible just to go, no, I don't love you anymore with your scaly tail. So yeah, Giacomo.
Sure, but it would be absolutely fine if you were like, well, I don't really remember you or why I was in love with you. There's another guy that, I don't know. But anyway, we were supposed to be getting married. So I'm going to get married to you and then I guess we'll see. That's again, better?
It's the tragic thing of me just sort of like putting my suit on and then just like, I think you should go, Eltrion. I'm getting married in an hour. It's like, but where will I go? Here. Have two dogs. Obviously, you'll think of me occasionally.
Whenever I look at these dogs.
You think... And also, again, I'm undead. Who knows how long I'm going to last, you know, until bits start falling off me, you know?
Did we establish... Did it was Boo, right?
Boo, yeah.
Yeah. Did she know that you were dead?
She's about to.
We find out very soon.
I mean... I'm certainly cut up. I don't think, maybe not.
I think there's a whole lot of discussions that really needed to happen before this. You're crying and you've just been kidnapped. But before we even leave the jail cell that your tormentor and captor has had you trapped in, let's get married.
Look, sometimes
I don't remember you, but let's get married.
Yeah, sometimes you don't want to have a difficult conversation, so you just decide to either have a kid or get married. It's simple. We'll talk about it on the road, or we'll never talk about it. Mm. How's that sound? I've also named myself after your dead father. Sound good? Would you like him here at the wedding?
Here he is!
Giacomo is here! That was one of my favourite moments when you go, that's his name. You're like, oh, actually, he just says that every time. Giacomo is enjoying a nice walk.
I mean, in my defence, you took his soul when you had to kind of, when you found him, didn't you? So he's seen others calling you by his name. You know, he's been there. He thought that was what he needed to call you by that point. And also, he's fabulous.
He is. And again, I'm going to see if I can get away from no one noticing. They're like, oh, did Giacomo die? You're like, no, it's me.
And then Giacomo. Marry his daughter.
I might, yeah. It's not weird if you don't think about it.
This all sounds so healthy.
Absolutely.
David, what did Eltreon name the Mastiffs?
I don't know. I think there'd be some time to think about it. Possibly Giacomo and Alan.
Oh no.
But perfect. It would sort of depend. I don't know if it would occur to Eltreon. Are they real dogs, Tom? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'd assume they were sort of like some sort of spirit summon. If they're real dogs, then yeah, that would be a matter for some discussion, probably with Jakarth back at Harper HQ, where we seem to hang out now. Spoilers, but so I don't know, something appropriate to the experience that we all had together. But off the cuff of it, I wouldn't know. But if Eltreon comes back, there'll probably be an answer by then. So keep demanding that chat and see what happens. I was just grateful that Sean provided an NPC that was romantically interested in Eltreon, because that was fun to play off as well. Because I haven't for whatever reason like played characters that have a tremendous sort of romantic inclination, but it was nice to have the charisma of 20 properly acknowledged in this game.
Dilla was great fun, actually.
And shiny. Oh.
Can we just all take a moment to reflect on Sean's roleplay there? As that, I can't remember the turtle's name now, but it was
Padilla.
Padilla. It was the giggle. It was the giggle that got me every time. The giggle. Can we have a demonstration of it?
You say I can't remember it now.
So good.
I'd love to. Just rewatch episode 5.
Oh, Padilla, the sun shines out of your moon, and the moon shines out of your sun. I'll teach you. These are me dogs. Do you want to name them?
Hey, girl. You want to name my dogs? Hey, are you seduced? You got to tell me you're seduced. Come on.
This is as tragic as we thought. Eltreon moved on really quickly, so...
You just go back to Padilla and like, hey. I can see what you did with that hammer. Very impressive.
Yeah, a tragic backstory is old hat. I'm all about the tragic present story.
Wife who can't talk to you because she's too embarrassed all the time.
Oh, sounds just as healthy as the relationship that Jack and Mo and Boo have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A little bit more healthy, I think.
Well, I was going to ask Josh, like, how good you think Jakarth would be at being a shoulder for Eltreon to cry on, but it sounds like your services are not needed in that department anymore. He's got over him so quickly.
He's got two dogs now, Jack and Al. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good name for them. And mm-hmm. You know, every so often when we're in the Harper headquarters, I'll walk past his room and I'll hear little sobs every now and then. I'll knock on the door and he'll be like, "Nothing's wrong with me, mate." Well, accent, you know, terrible at that. And then I'll just walk off.
You just hear a voice in your head going, "Everything is fine." Yeah. No one was crying in this room. It was you who was crying. You're like, maybe I was crying.
Pay no attention to the elf behind the door.
Eltreon like prides himself on being able to present the mask that's needed in order to function in his role and in the world. But yeah, the deep rooted feelings are there. It's just like when you've had so much happen to you, he's convinced himself that by focusing on his cerebral psionicus and that kind of angle of being and pouring himself into his work, so to speak, that it acts as an insulation from like emotional pain. But like getting closer to Giacomo was just or Alan, as you prefer, was just an entirely like he doesn't even know the extent of the feelings, just that there's a deep rooted affection there that he would have liked to explore. And obviously it's a bit of a shock when someone's like, "Oh yeah, so I'm married and here's my wife," and you're just like, "Yeah," but the door's never shut, you know. I don't think that would be the case, but yeah, there'd certainly be some late night brandies with Jakarth, just putting the world to rights. As his arm, I wanted to ask you this, Sean. Actually, while I remember, mm-hmm. Is Eltreon's arm growing back?
I think last we left it, didn't you? you made use of the expedited healing in the hospital. And you went above over your your HP. So yeah, I think that it is growing back.
And they rolled a natural 20 on that save, as I recall. Oh, excellent. Okay, well, that'll be interesting. So I can now gift you some gold as a wedding present.
I mean, it's probably been thrown over.
Yeah, that's true. It's like Wolverine now. I've got like the equivalent of adamantite, except a much less useful metal.
I love that. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe you did, and I forgot and blanked it. And if so, then I apologize. Has anyone ever actually asked Eltreon about his gold arm?
I don't think so.
Just super casually, like, oh, this guy's got a gold arm. That's fine. That's totally normal.
It's just how he is. There's a lot of magic shit going on with Eltreon, so it probably gets funneled under that umbrella.
I hope that in the next time that we see Eltreon, his backstory is going to come out a bit more, because like we know there's something to do with Mind Flayers, but we don't know like deep backstory, right? Or like how that came about. I hope someone actually asks.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I mean, Sean,
it out of him.
Sean's seen it. It's about 5 pages. Like, nice. It's always the way though, and I'm sure this probably applies to everyone, but correct me if I'm wrong, I don't want to speak for you. We put a lot of work into characters and like how they get to where they are and all of this stuff, and 90% of it will never come up. You just know, you need to know it in order to be able to play the character honestly. So in some senses it does come through, albeit very subtly, because the way that we interact with each other, the way that we are, and the way that the character's presented brings all that to the table. But I agree, it could be interesting to kind of get a bit more explicit on what are two of these things. But it is definitely there, even if it's not always obvious.
I think Hera as well was one that I was particularly like, oh, I need to find out more. What is the relevance of all the flowers, and where did she come from?
Yeah. I would love to explore that more. Just saying.
I'm going to keep it secret, though, just in case.
Not now, though.
No spoilers. Well, we'll have to petition for Hera's return, then. Or Shearer.
I did like when that was revealed, you just were like, all right. okay, I think you were like, you know, I'm not important in this fight. And I was like, well, we'll see. You're like, no, I'm all right. Oh, Shearer.
Oh. Yeah, well, if Hera started a detective agency, or you did a sort of mystery campaign, it could be Sherlock Holmes.
Done.
Psychic damage.
See, my mind automatically went to she needs to find a magical glowy sword in the woods that also summons a unicorn best pal, and she could be Shearer.
Because that's what we need on this stream. More unicorns.
Not enough
more
unicorns.
Yeah. And with Jakarth as well, I loved the... obviously, we didn't get the full backstory, but just watching everyone's faces when you were suddenly like to Jorok, like, and you made me! And everyone was like, sorry, what?
I like to keep that in my back pocket.
I remember the conversation that we had. You kind of presented me with this, and then I gave you a vague description of what the wizard who did it to you looked like. And I was like, just this weirdly detailed description. No, don't need to worry about that. There you go.
That's not going to come up at all now, is it?
Oh, so you didn't actually tell him that it was Jorok, but you
never
figured it out.
Never said. No. Just gave a description.
That's up there with my number one horror moment. That sort of revelation that Jakarth had these things done to him, like that was that hit on a different level. Like I felt for the guy, and you know, kind of wish I'd been witness to the dragon rage that had taken place. That's after so the cool. fight.
Beautiful, love that description. It's my favorite.
Yeah, we properly saw Jakarth just go full badass, which is
full
exciting.
Dragon.
Yeah.
Especially in the editing where you got the dragon voice. Just the rumbling.
Yes.
I came here to rip up wizards and take names, and I'm all out of names.
Also, I can't write in a notebook anymore. I have clothes.
Throat holes through the pages.
Hey, Durok, do you go to the gym? Because you're looking shredded.
Psychic damage.
Oh no. And on another terrible pun, I'm going to roll a dice again.
Oh, that dice.
Roll that dice. 2. Well, oh, okay,
that
dice cool.
MP3.
Oh no. Anyway, this is an interesting one, actually. This is for Sean. And maybe you do or don't want to answer, I guess. Were there any secrets? This is a 2, by the way, for the editors. So, were there any secrets or mysteries that the players didn't solve or discover? Was it just the secret bee spa?
There was. And I'm going to be vague. Jakarth went to examine the body, which had been squished into a bloody pulp by our Etin friend. Had you rolled high enough, there would have been something that had survived, but you didn't, and I just decided not to give it to you. But
well,
can we roll now?
Nope.
I thought it was much.
Roll
but,
dice.
You know, when he comes back, we'll just have to do it all again.
If he comes back.
He's not going to come back. He turned into hornets. People don't come back from that.
Yeah. Hornets don't get sentient and form their own society that integrates with humanoids. No. That doesn't happen. No.
It's like, it happened for bees, but hornets
are too far.
That's too
hornets
far.
Are still ill prepared.
Hornets are the natural enemy of bees as well.
Oh, there you go.
So that would be interesting.
And they're involved in the pollination of figs, and we all hate figs here. Let's run them out of the city. It all
That's
got very dark.
Such a specific
dark.
Piece of knowledge.
Figs and runs. I wonder what the correlation is there. Sean, there is another thing that a mystery that we didn't solve.
Oh, God.
The final anagram.
Yes.
That is true. Do we want that now or do we want that at the end? Should I keep you on tenterhooks?
No, let's go for it now. It's a mystery.
Go for it now. Okay. So,
please remind us what it was.
I shall remind you. So at the end of episode 6, I set you this final anagram. So the 4 conspirators who took Giacomo away from the circus and literally stabbed him in the back, all out of jealousy because he was effectively in line to inherit the circus purely because of his courtship of the owner's daughter. They were a single anagram. So Ruby Yat, Bo Bevan, Curtis Rowley, and Ned Juice. And I forget my exact wording, but I said perhaps something along the lines of perhaps the characters could get some serenity. Serenity being the name of the spaceship where this quote takes place on. So when you unravel all of these names, you get curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
Amazing.
I didn't get it, just FYI. I was so far away.
It was tricky. It was a very tricky one.
It's the only one I didn't get. I was so disappointed in myself.
So I gave a little bit of extra time, but yeah.
What a show. What a show to reference. Oh, so good.
Any time I can, I will. I mean, literally, I've got my spaceship t-shirt on now. So there's a Millennium Falcon. That's the reason I'm wearing it, because as of day of recording, it is Star Wars Day.
It is.
But somewhere... Oh, there we go.
Everyone's like, I'm wearing my Roll Together merch t-shirt rather than my Star Wars.
You're
repping
the company.
You know, I was thinking about making a Star Wars pun, but I don't want to force it.
Hey.
There it is.
Psychic damage.
I was going to say... Well, Johnny, you've played with us before, but for Josh and Scarlett, how did you cope with the terrible puns?
I'm used to them.
Okay, fine, good.
I'm used to hearing them. It's like,
it's normally me that says them.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
This was actually just like, it was everyone lined up. It was always going to be a melting pot of psychic damage.
Yeah.
Some of the puns were slightly less heinous.
Were they, though?
As you started that sentence, I got the fear because I was like, where's he going with this? What pun is he going to drop on us?
There's a hierarchy of pain.
I have to say, one of my proudest things from this campaign was having you chase down a pun for 6 episodes in the form of Je ne fais rien. Just dropping those subtle hints and just letting you chase this person and yeah.
Yeah, mate, if we hadn't been 4 hours in, I'd have attacked her at that point.
No, this is the final boss. It's happening now.
I'll go get the others.
Oh, dear. Right. We've got time for a couple more questions. I'm going to roll that dice again.
Roll that dice.
Very much. That is a 15. Oh, okay. Which PC gets or is most likely to get the Edgelord Award?
I don't think we are. Is this a case where if you don't think there is one, it's you?
I think Jakarth is on the line. Jakarth is definitely on the line for being an Edgelord.
The closest, but
I don't think he could go over it.
No.
Yeah. I think it'd be an unfair description, but certainly the closest to it. You know, being
like all the time, but he had his dragon moment where he went. He had a Skitter goes dragon moment.
Mm. Yeah,
Jakarth went dragon.
And, it was earned, I think. It was definitely earned. Like it wasn't. He wasn't just like at the side being like, "I'm so dark.
No.
I'm the dragon Neverwinter deserves." You know,
if you gave him that chance, it probably would have done.
definitely would.
To be fair, I can only evaluate on the basis of the available evidence.
So, dragon man.
it may well be that your Harper nickname is now Edgington.
My parents didn't die horribly, so that's where he stays on the line.
That you know of.
I was going to say that you know of.
On that line, Giacomo follows pretty close along then.
I think I cry too much to be an Edgelord.
Yeah, too soft. Good soft baby,
soft
no.
Boy. Soft baby boy no. Who misses his animals. I did say that Giacomo, when he was younger, was an angry young man and then suddenly found the love of animals and of a woman that he does not remember. Mm-hmm. And will keep that pretense up until the day he dies again. Which is
Add to the list, I think. We've got the list of, like, who gets blah blah award and blah blah award. Well, I've not actually got who gets the Poppet Award. Now, we can't do it on this stream. Like, any stream that Tom's in, there's no point. But need to add it for all of the other streams, I think.
Poppet Master.
It's like I sponsored the award. And the Tom Chances Award for Poppetry goes to...
We've talked about this briefly in our Discord, actually, haven't we? Like, if there was an award named after each player. So, like, the most optimised character, the David Ward and stuff like that.
You think I'm the biggest power player?
Yeah.
You're top three.
Yeah, that's true. There's probably about three of us that should never be in the same party ever. But
you have to tell us which three now.
No, I did. I did make
that's a power play right there.
You're the only one that I know of that has made specific reference to spreadsheets and balancing tables, David. So I think that puts you pretty high up there.
Yeah, I mean, I look at them. I don't always like. I'm really fighting a losing battle here, aren't I?
Yeah.
The best I could say is that some of my spell choices were thematic rather than optimised.
The cemetery's up, I'll remember.
Sure. So if the Mid-Max Award is the David Award and the Poppet Award is the Tom Jantis Award, what would be the Johnny Award, the Scarlet Award and the Josh Award?
Creative use of spells? What?
Make it.
Yeah. Hamster ball.
Hamster ball.
Hamster balling, yeah.
But you never saw that coming.
I mean, Scarlet, you pretty successfully avoided your backstory for much of the campaign. Tried to kind of throw it down for you. It's like you pick up a dandelion and a voice talks to you. You could talk to them again. Nah.
Too busy doing stuff right now, Mum. Jeez. Call you later.
Never call your mother.
The Scarlet Empty Fishy Line Award for avoiding plot hooks. Also, the Johnny Award would be for most original use of a non-damage spell.
Yeah.
Wait, which one was that one?
The sphere.
Oh, yeah, the Harvester Ball, yeah.
Hot Shot Award?
What?
Hot Shot Award with the bow?
Yeah!
I got a few good kills with the bow.
You did, actually, yeah.
It's better than the Edgelord Award, possibly.
The Killstreak Award.
Killstreak Awards, yeah.
Yeah, you've got two. You've got Durok and then you've got the bee. You just bang, bang. Oh, that's good. Yeah, take it.
Got Durok and the bee. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Everyone is free to define their own awards, by the way. I don't want to put awards in people's mouths.
No, this is the game. You don't get to pick your own awards.
Yeah. Like nicknames.
What's the Sean Awards? Is that something to do with horror or anagram?
Most annoying fucking boss battle.
Or most adorable dentist.
Oh, yeah. Most adorable dentist award goes to.
If it's to do with, like, yeah, DMing, and then yeah, probably the most horror you can inflict on a party. But if it was as a player, I would say it's probably something to do with puns, like most punny character. I mean, I'm not giving anything away, but the character that I play in Liz's upcoming game, which has been announced, so I can say the name of Mercandraw Bog, the last resort of Mercandraw Bog.
Yep,
pretty much. Just came from a pun, and I just was like, well, I can't do anything else. I can't think of anything else. My evenings are spent just dreaming about this character.
This is who I am now. What can I do? I'm very excited. I'm also in that campaign, and we know a little bit about you. I'm excited to find out more. It's fun. We'll talk about that later. That's not important right now, Sean. Honestly, I'm going to roll the dice again because we've probably got time for one more question.
Roll that dice.
Ooh, I feel like we've kind of covered that one. No, I'm going to ignore that.
Reroll that dice.
Oh no, that's a repeat roll as well.
We've angered the dice gods.
Roll that dice with advantage. Fudge
I lie.
Fudge all the rolls. Okay. This is a good one actually, because in a campaign that had so many. Horror moments and so many beautiful sad moments or heartwarming moments or found family moments, what was your funniest moment?
Honestly, I think the description of how the cheese was made.
Yes.
That just killed me. It was just so, just the image of these poor halflings strapping themselves to poles and being
rich halflings. It's very well paid work.
It got me for weeks. I went to bed laughing about that, and I still think about that even now.
This channel, we just ruin food for people. You can't eat beans, you can't eat pickles, you can't eat cheese. We just mutated. It's just
sausage rolls.
Sausage rolls are generally quite safe. They're just popular.
Yeah.
They've not been ruined yet.
Yeah, sausage ice cream. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favourite bits had to be, and I can't remember how it came about, but...
I don't think they saw that. So it was just before this, like, we started recording. Yeah. We had to take it, like, three times.
Editors, please splice in the clip of a woo right
now. Yeah, put the woo in.
It was definitely in
the... Into the bloopers.
I don't know why you started doing it, but I couldn't get you to stop.
It was David.
One person. David did it once, and it just cascaded.
Yeah. I felt like I hadn't displayed sufficient enthusiasm at the resumption of the episode, and then overcompensated in a massive way.
And it just sort of stuck for the rest of the recordings.
Mm-hmm. And this happened before Doctor Hoot as well, right? Mm.
I think it was episode two.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, Doctor Who, probably my favourite. I feel bad because that is something that I obviously played, but I don't know. I genuinely wasn't deliberately ending my sentences with ooh, but as soon as I did, the accent just carried on and I just kept going, come on, ooh. I just couldn't stop. He had a line there, though.
That's why we loved him.
I think the fact that he was having a conversation while working on Hera's teeth. So if you're imagining the picture, is that I'm sitting there looking at a lollipop and Rex is like, well, where'd the money come from? Tell us. And just like poking around the teeth. Just that whole thing of just us deciding to break the party just to go to the dentist and sit in a waiting room and read some magazines. It's just...
Still better I didn't get that lolly. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Also the fact you just went to that guy going, can I have your tooth? And he's like, yeah. Which you
awfully kind.
You don't know
if you don't ask.
Yeah.
Lulu. And what is Hera going to do with the tooth?
She lost it. She catapulted it.
Flung it, didn't I? Yeah. Mm. She would have just poked it like the eyeballs.
I mean, to be fair, we would go back to the circus. So I'd be just like, do you want your tooth back?
Oh, that's very kind.
And that's when we kissed. There you go, conclusion.
Done.
not the viscous cycle you were thinking about, but it's the one you get.
Filth.
It's pretty viscous.
Undead spit.
Goopy.
What other comedies we have?
Yes, please think of other funny moments. Yeah. Oh, no.
I'm just going down the list. Okay, sad. Sad.
The portal was funny as well.
The turtle, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that was very funny.
And the same with Mirror Age. Go on.
So it was our singing debut. Well, that wasn't necessarily funny, but it was touching.
Yeah.
I was very sweet.
Callback. Is it interspersed with comedy? There were little moments of just characters playing off each other, because I guess when the situation is so dire and when it's so tense and so on, then the littlest things can kind of break the moment. So it wasn't like a raucous, haha, giant, marshmallow in the shape of a flamingo or whatever. But there were these little moments where we found levity within tragedy that I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like an actual kind of uproarish, that was definitely funny. I can't think of any offhand, but I think that is again testament to the quality job that Sean did in maintaining the tone and integrity despite all of our best efforts to to undermine it. Well, certainly mine. I won't speak for the rest of you.
I mean, one of you decided that you wanted your backstory to be from a circus, so I think my job was pretty much written for me from the start. So, okay, well, we're going to the circus at some point, but the dead circus.
The dead circus. I was going to ask about that. Was that with Giacomo's backstory? I've had this conversation with Tom off air, but let's have it here now so everyone can hear. With how much of it, Giacomo's backstory, Alan's backstory, did Tom know, and how much free rein did you just give to Sean to just make stuff up?
I mean, I think I said at the beginning, I had a dream about me being in a circus, and then as I was being thrown out for a crime, and then my love interest came up to me, whispered in my ear, this would make a good D&D character. And I was like, oh no. And then I just said to Sean, I was like, okay, what do I know? I probably got murdered. There was something about the circus and there was something about love. And he was like, do you want more details? I was like, no, it's good. And so everything is just a revelation for me. I was like, I don't know what I did. And that's why in character, I was like, maybe I was a bad person. Maybe Sean was going to go, yeah, you sold all your animals. There you go. Deal with that.
Do some bees.
Yeah. Here, bees, just have this giraffe.
Was the reborn thing like planned in advance? Like, did you know you were going to be, and Sean as well, that, did you know that sort of undead were going to be like a thing as a result of the plague? And was that something that came up, or was it just something you and Scarlet as well just kind of worked with?
Just people came to me with their character ideas, and we went, okay, cool. We've got, Priest of Kelimvor, you know, obviously God of Death, so makes sense. We start building stuff around, and the direction that I maybe planned the campaign out, you know, there was the very bare bones of it. I kind of, you know, I knew there was going to be the hive in the chasm. I knew that there was going to be I knew that they would be fighting Jorok at the end, but it was very much based on the players that I had and like the characters that they brought to the table that fleshed out the rest of those details. So starting off episode one, you know, with a trip to the Temple of Kelimvor and them being the ones who are taking on a lot of the responsibility for, you know, curing the bloat, that all came from, okay, well, I've got one player whose backstory is that. And then, you know, visiting the circus at some point was because of another character. We also were joking around quite a bit and kind of likening the characters to Batman characters as well. So it's like, right, and the end boss is in an asylum. Done.
Insight into the planning process. Well, on that bombshell, we have run out of time. So I'm going to have to leave you there to ponder where it could have gone otherwise. Does anyone have anything that they would like to plug before we sign off?
want to say, because I know all the stuff got cut out at the end of the episode, just thank you so much to chat and for everyone who's been watching and engaging with it at the times when I've been able to see it, and seeing people like enjoy these characters and these stories we put together. It's just amazing. So thank you very much, and I hope you continue to support what we do.
Thank you very much for being so welcoming as well. For those of us who
appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been awesome to watch you guys play and bring you into the collective.
Awesome. We're never leaving.
No, absolutely not. You're here now.
You signed a contract. 20 years.
In blood.
We must get into the rolling together cupboard.
That is where we all live when we're not on stream.
Yeah, we all have sleeping bags. It's very sweet.
That's the last thing from me would just be, you know, keep an eye out for potentially furthering of this plot thread. Who knows? Part three.
Well, we shall see. We shall see. We've got 6 weeks left on this quarter, and then who knows? Who knows what's coming next?
I think I need a break from the horror myself. So my next campaign probably won't be this again. But once I've had some time to plan.
It's scheming. Come on, let's be honest.
That's going to be the problem. You can have a nice, fun first episode, and you're like, and then eyes broke out on your hand. You're like, oh no, secret.
Can't stop myself.
The giraffe with the multiple eyes just bursts in. You're like, oh, come on, guys.
It's funny this time, though, right?
It's wearing a little hat.
It's got the head of the Etin on it.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us for that mental image. This was Talk Together. It runs Fridays from 6 p.m. till 7 p.m.-ish BST. And we stream D&D games on Mondays and Tuesdays, 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. at BST. So next week we had a slight scheduling issue. Some people are very busy bees. So see what I did there? We've got a one shot, and it's Busy Bee 3 Ferry Road. Yes, which will be followed by the launch of Em's new campaign, Anarchy in the Astral Sea, the week after that. Tom, you're in Busy Bees quite frequently. You're in this one too, little Wilby.
Little Wilby. Everything's looking up. Everything's great for Wilby. Not at all sad or poverty.
No.
Wilby has all his eyes. That's what I'll say. No, that's a lie. No, it's crazy. It's good fun. We're on the furry road.
Yep. All right, in that furry
Nat
road.
Bullies me throughout. It's a delight.
What happened to the animals that used to be part of it? They get run over.
Oh, you don't want to ask.
There's a horrible car accident.
pretty much. That is kind of canon for the world.
Yep. Yeah, it's a ride. Come join us for that on Monday. It's something ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Tuesdays, next Tuesday, we have the launch of Liz's new show, the Last Resort of Merc and Draw Bog, which Sean is in and I'm in as well. And Sean, you gave us a little teaser before of your character. Could you give us a little something about the first episode?
Oh, I mean, it goes as many first episodes go, you know, we don't know each other, and then suddenly, bam, you have to know each other. You are the protagonist of this story and you must talk. It's takes place in a lovely part of the Feywild. There's a cruise, there's potentially karaoke, who knows? Mm-hmm.
We're all just having a lovely time on a cruise, really. It's, you know, there's no big battles, no issues. It's just a lovely time. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Lovely day out for everyone. Yeah.
Really nice day out in a bog. Mm-hmm. Watch that, because it's great. All of our shows, you can find them here at twitch.tv/rolltogetherRPG. And if you miss the show, VODs are available immediately after the fact to catch up, or you can watch it all on YouTube a few days later, and also as a podcast if you prefer to not see faces whilst you listen to your D&D. Many thanks again to our D20 Club on Patreon. You're all awesome and amazing. If you would like to be as cool as they are, you can do so from as little as one of your local currencies per month. And thank you also to all of our sponsors and supporters. And as always, I feel like we need to get this as a group chant, just like roll that dice. Can we all give a together? Stay classy
at the table.
That dice.